You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's Recode Daily. You've reached Adam Clark Estes, and we can't come to the phone right now because we're taking a break for the holidays. So for the next 2 weeks, get ready to revisit some of our favorite episodes from this year as we rest up and get ready to make all sorts of good stuff in 2022. But one quick question before we go. Do you have a favorite tech tip or hack that you feel like no one knows but everyone should know? Like mine, for example, is that there's a place deep in your Facebook settings where you can download all your Facebook photos and save them somewhere else. Well, if you have a tip, email it to us, and maybe we'll include it on an episode we've got cooking. We are Recode Daily at recode.net. In the meantime, thanks for spending so much time with us this year. We'll see you in the next. TikTok is the go-to spot for memes, dance tutorials, product recommendations, and recently hours of getting way too invested in sorority recruitment videos. But what if I told you it's also grounds for riveting discourse about American tax policy? That's right, the wonky stuff. Turns out TikTok makes it really easy for everyday Americans to let lawmakers know how they feel about their work. The best example of this might be the trend of dance videos celebrating the arrival of the coveted stimulus check.
Stimulus, stimulus, Joe Biden about to drop these stimulus checks. 1400, I'm too turned up, about to pay
but
my
bills. These are just memes, right? Well, Dylan Matthews says there's more than meets the eye. Dylan is a senior correspondent for Vox. He recently wrote about the rollout of personal pandemic relief payments and how they might have unlocked TikTok's hidden potential. He joins us now to tell us more. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Adam.
And today, we've also got a second guest on the show, since we're talking about TikTok. We've invited journalism's go-to TikTok expert, Dave Jorgensen. You may also know him as the Washington Post TikTok guy. Hey, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me, Adam.
Thank you both for joining us. So, Dylan, last month you wrote about the TikTok response to the child tax credit, which are the monthly payments of up to $300 that went directly to parents in need during the pandemic. So what is it about these checks that made them so memeable?
So I think the most important part of it is that the checks were not universal, but were nearly universal for the people being targeted. The child tax credit goes to all but the very richest parents in the country. Parents are a very large group. Sort of parent, mom, dad focused TikTok and Facebook and Instagram are all sort of phenomena already. And so it was a very easy unifying thing. And I think beyond that, it all landed at the same time.
When that child tax credit hit your account and you had no idea.
It's not as though people applied for it at different times and started receiving it at different times. It all rolled out on July 15th. And so when everyone's getting a sudden deposit to their bank account at around the same time, that makes it very easy to make content that people will relate to.
And Dave, you see a lot of memes on TikTok related to all kinds of big news events. Is tax policy usually up there as the most likely to inspire a meme?
It's not the number one news event that might be driving different sort of TikTok memes, but that's not to say that it couldn't be. In this case, it definitely was. I think it's really just about something, any news event really, that or government policy that is easy enough to understand, and I would say under 15 seconds. Dylan makes a really good point that it was happening to a lot of people at once, so the simultaneous nature of that, where we also were sort of experiencing it at once, really helps. Thinking all the way back to March 2020, when TikTok had just a huge growth in people that downloaded it, it was because of the pandemic and everyone was experiencing the same thing at once. So a lot of the TikToks, including Washington Post TikToks at that point, were just all about going insane at home.
Welcome back to Quarantine, a podcast. I'm Dave. I'm joined as always by Dave.
Hey, Dave, how are you? Could be better.
Yeah.
And I think this is the same. This is a little more of a celebration, but it was, you know, about doing this thing at home that's everyone just got this money. And I think it's also the other element of this that made it so fun and viral on TikTok is that anyone could make this TikTok and their own version of it. And they could include their kid if they wanted or not include their kid, but they all kind of had the same joke that they could play to and to different effects.
So I got my first child tax credit payment today, which means the government has officially paid me more child support than my baby daddy ever has.
And no matter what, you're going to find it funny in some capacity.
And are there other specific examples of big government policies that you've seen get a similar meme treatment?
Yes and no. I mean, I really have been following this, basically this exact meme, but in different versions where there was different checks that were coming out. Obviously, this was the one that much more people got all at once. But the stimulus checks, that's been one of the easiest ones to do. And our version of this latest one was at the same time, there was this meme where people were using their phones, like a banana phone rather. So they were just talking in a banana. And it was just me calling the IRS asking if I was going to get any money and claiming that a can of Spam was my child.
Hello, this is the IRS.
Hi, I'm calling about the monthly child tax credit. I didn't get one.
Okay, do you have kids?
Yes, one kid.
How old?
When did I get you at the grocery store in March? A year and a half.
Okay, that qualifies you for $300 a month. What's your child's name?
Sam.
Last name?
The Can.
Dave, are you kidding me?
So you could also incorporate other memes into these different events that are happening, and that always helps to escalate them.
So Dylan, I wonder, do you think this is changing the way that people are interacting with the government? Does a banana phone meme video count as civic engagement?
I think it's more engagement that a lot of people have with government policy, and specifically their policy to the degree of specificity of a single tax credit than the most people have in a given year. And I think it's also just a way more public conversation than happens about most things. You sometimes get conversations about longstanding policies like the mortgage interest deduction, but those tend to be tailored to a relatively small share of people. Not everyone owns a home. Not everyone makes enough money to itemize their deductions. This, because it was so widespread, because it was so easy to summarize, as Dave pointed out, and because it's a subject of active ongoing political dispute, these are checks that are going to expire, that Joe Biden and Democrats in Congress want to not expire, that there is set to be a big fight about extending. Having this kind of feedback from voters directly is really unusual. Usually members of Congress get a lot of feedback from specific interest groups or advocacy groups and not a lot of sort of widespread public engagement. This is not as prominent or as huge a news story in the way it was covered in the media as Obamacare, but it's still getting this kind of like mass mobilization. And that's part of what I found so interesting about it. And I think it absolutely counts as civic engagement of a kind that will matter for the debate over extending this credit.
And in your writing, you brought up the point that the U.S. government has a pretty bad track record when it comes to clearly showing how it benefits voters. Do you think this memification of policy is changing how people perceive government?
Yeah, I think it sort of tightens the feedback loop between voters and policy. That there are a lot of government policies that the political scientist Suzanne Mettler coined the term the submerged state, that are sort of hidden from you, sometimes on purpose. So to use mortgages as an example, again, we have the Federal Housing Administration, which is meant to backstop loans and make them cheaper. That's a very indirect way of helping people. It's not like you go to the government and they give you some money to go put a down payment on a house. It's that you're supposed to trust that indirectly they're doing these things in markets you don't really understand that make your mortgage a little cheaper. That's a lot harder to react to and understand and engage with politically. Checks from the government in a set amount that show up in your bank account are much simpler, much less submerged, and tighten and increase the amount of feedback coming directly from voters into the government in a way that I think, whatever you think about the underlying policy, is probably healthy for democratic discourse. It increases the amount of feedback that policymakers are getting from their constituents.
And again, democratic discourse and TikTok, not two phrases I would have put together before reading your piece. On that note, Dave, I think when people think about TikTok, they think about it as entertainment. Most of my interactions with TikTok, at least, have been watching funny videos. But you find a lot of success using the app to push information out about serious subjects. Would you say that users are receptive to what you're putting out there, to the news?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a couple of things have happened. The main thing is that you know, TikTok aged up. And again, that was sort of sped up by the pandemic, where all of a sudden you had a lot more people downloading it that weren't just teenagers. And so I've always had tried to have the Washington Post TikTok account reflect the demographic and the age group that we're talking to. And I think, you know, sometime in the last year, I looked and I could realize a lot of our viewers were a little older and ready to kind of actually get some news from the Washington Post TikTok account. And it sort of morphed from these silly meme videos into now it's almost every single video is directly news related. One of the most popular TikToks we had this year was about the war in Afghanistan and whether or not we're going to pull troops out. And it occurred to me that a lot of what was happening where you had President Trump saying we were leaving by May and then Biden said maybe a little bit later, it was kind of like two parents telling a group of people that you had different curfews.
Hey guys, how you doing? So I'm the new president. It's okay. I'm cool. Dab, right? Flossing. That May 1st curfew is looking kind of unrealistic. So we're going to go with September 11th. All right.
Okay.
You got to be out of here by then. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay in Afghanistan, right? Okay. Later, skaters. See ya.
That got over 3 million views in just 2 days. And part of, you know, the entertainment aspect of TikTok is how you frame it. And so whenever I'm trying to talk about these news events, I'm trying to think of how can I relate it to this audience or just relate it into a way that makes it either funnier or easier to understand. And the other aspect of TikTok that I think people forget about, especially as it relates to news, is because it loops just by itself, not unlike Vine used to do, it allows you to, first time you watch it and you kind of enjoy it, the second time, third time, fourth time, you're actually, you know, taking in the information more.
So besides just watching, how are you seeing TikTok users interacting with what you're posting?
Commenting is probably the biggest and probably my favorite part of TikTok outside of just making the TikToks is that the comment section, I think you're really rewarded in a way that might be different from any other platform that I can think of. It seems to be that whether it's the algorithm or just our audience or TikTok's just general way of working, that the more positive comments seem to float to the top. The more interesting comments. Now, as the creator, I can pin a comment to the top, which is really helpful. So the comment section is the big thing. But the other thing that is really effective, and I never would have guessed this, but it's happened a lot recently, is that if someone wants their followers to see an interesting TikTok that they saw, they'll just duet our TikTok. So all they'll do is just film a video of themselves next to the clip and watching it for the entirety of it. And all they're usually doing is just pointing at me or whoever's in the video and saying, listen to this, look at this. And that's the TikTok. They're basically just retweeting it, but the TikTok version of it. So there's a lot of ways you can engage. And with TikTok, there's a lot of creative ways you can do so as well.
So Dylan, a similar question for you. As policy is becoming more prominent on social media, what kinds of responses are you seeing from lawmakers? Let's say, for instance, with this child tax credit trend.
Yeah, I mean, I think one place you see more direct engagement from policymakers is on Twitter, that there are some, especially younger members of the House and Senate, who tend to be incredibly active. And I think that's been the main platform I've seen policymakers directly respond. But I think TikTok has grown to a point where it's becoming hard to ignore. And even if they're not creating their own content on TikTok, they're aware it exists and they're watching the videos. And I think it's become a big enough part of American culture, at least at this juncture, that they see it the way they see sort of clips from news stories or hits on TV news. It's something about their policy that they have to be paying attention to.
And you speculate in your piece that having such a strong base of support on social media might make it harder for them to roll back a policy like the child tax credit. Do you think that this is something lawmakers are thinking about in terms of rolling out future policies?
Certainly. And I think that was part of the goal in rolling out the child tax credit like this, that it was deliberately rolled out just for a year as part of a stimulus measure. But there was sort of a winking acknowledgement that this is something Democrats want to make happen permanently. And I think one indication of that is that in the new proposals to extend it, Biden is not proposing extending it indefinitely yet. He's proposing extending it to the end of 2023. And that suggests to me that he thinks that setting up periodic fights about this is to his benefit, that this is popular enough that saying, hey, Republicans want to take your check away, is going to make voters more motivated to vote for Democrats, the same way that having a minimum wage that isn't indexed to inflation and so has to sort of be manually raised every few years gives Democrats a powerful campaign issue. And so I think the administration certainly sees the threat of losing this and the threat of sort of anger at losing this being expressed on social media and through other avenues as a key part of their strategy.
So generally speaking, on a good day, memes are fun. But as we all know, misinformation runs rampant on social media and it only seems to be getting worse. But it sounds like you guys have actually found a silver lining in this age of online politics. Do you foresee social media continuing to do more good than harm for civic engagement?
Is the internet doing more good than harm for civic engagement is one of those questions that's massive enough in scope that I can't begin to answer it adequately. But I would say that if that has a possibility of being true, it will be true by virtue of concerted efforts of people to spread accurate information on these platforms. One thing I've been heartened by in watching memes about the child tax credit is that they generally are accurate about how it works, that it's a monthly payment based on the number of kids you have. And it's a small thing. It does not negate all the harm done through, say, vaccine misinformation on these platforms. But I was heartened to see how accurate most of the memes I was looking at were.
I think, you know, it's funny you just mentioned the misinformation aspect of it, because that's been a kind of a renewed focus of the last month for me is misinformation TikToks, or rather TikToks about things going viral, that there's a lot of lies within what's going viral. I think it's obviously a bit of a double-edged sword. It can go both ways. TikTok can also, you know, be the platform spreading this information, but it's been a really great way to use the platform itself to explain how to, you know, spot this when it's happening and make people more media literate. So I would say I'm cautiously optimistic, especially as we continue to make these TikToks to help our viewers understand how this happens. And, you know, again, going back to the comment section, that's some of the best comment sections we've had is when I've made those TikToks and you see people interacting and saying, I fell for it, I didn't fall for it, and talking about why they did or didn't fall for it. That's actually, to me, really healthy.
Dylan, Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
You can check out Dylan's latest on the child tax credit at Vox.com. And you can catch Dave's videos by following The Washington Post on TikTok. That's at Washington Post. Thank you for listening to Rico Daily. My name is Adam Clark Estes. This episode was produced by Alan Rodriguez Espinosa and engineered by Paul Mountsey. Let us know what you want to learn more about and email us at RicoDaily@Rico.net.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.